Well, good morning, everybody. Apologies for that slight delay. I couldn't find the right button, but we're there now. So welcome to our service today. Welcome to those who are joining us for the very first time on a Zoom service. Good to see you here, and welcome to all those who we've been seeing for many times. So good to be here. Now, Martin is leading our service today, so I will hand over to him, and he will lead us through our worship. Martin.
Thank you very much, Adrian, and it is very good to see you all this morning, and welcome to all those of you who can't see what's going on, but welcome to those of you who are on the phone joining us this morning as well. Let's just join together, and we'll sing our first hymn as we go into our service. This hymn is "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less," and has the chorus "Cornerstone" in the middle of it. So let's just worship together with this hymn.
Trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ.
Cornerstone of all that we are as Christians is Christ, and that song just pushes that home. Let's pray as we open our service. Father, we thank you that where everything around us seems to be sinking sands and unsteady, you are the rock upon which we stand. We thank you that you have built your church upon a solid rock, and that solid rock is Christ. Christ alone is the cornerstone. And Lord, as we worship this morning, help us to rely upon that cornerstone. Lord, as we worship, I pray that you would speak to us and you would encourage us and you would help us to trust in you in all things, no matter what is being thrown at us and what we happen to face. Lord, be with us all. Bless us and encourage us as we worship. Amen. I've lost my thing now. Bear with me. No, it's gone. I think we've got our reading next. Oh, it's come up on there. So we've got our reading next. This is, again, it's one that I've picked up off the internet. So I think there's something to watch as we listen to this passage from Exodus. So thank you, Adrian.
Moses, I give to you the way to live. I give to you my Ten Commandments. Remember them. Teach them. Teach them for the rest of time. Your God, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not worship false gods. You shall never take my name in vain. You shall keep the Sabbath day holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not lie. You shall never want what belongs to others.
I just want to share a few thoughts on this. Anyway, you can mute that. Thank you. Just to share a few thoughts on this. This obviously is Moses receiving the Ten Commandments, and probably one of the most famous lists in the world. Most nations that I'm aware of have the basis of their laws and the way they live based upon the Ten Commandments. And the implication is that people didn't know right or wrong before the Ten Commandments came around, which I don't necessarily agree with, because when Moses was in Egypt, he killed the Hebrew, Egyptian who killed a Hebrew, And Moses knew that what he had done was wrong, and therefore he ran away. So there was an element of that. So if people knew what was already right and wrong, because it's, I believe it's sort of built into the human psyche, then why did God do this dramatic giving of 10 commandments? And it wasn't really something to give to the Israelites to say, this is right and this is wrong. It was more a way of saying, you are now my people. I'm choosing you and setting you aside as my people. And as such, this is how I want you to live. And the first four commandments are to do with the people's relationship with God. It's, you'll have no other God before me. Do not worship idols. Honor the Sabbath. These are commandments that were to do with their relationship with God. And it's relevant today because obviously we have a relationship with God. And how do we treat God in our lives? The next six commandments are about relationship with one another. So our relationship with God and our relationship with one another go hand in hand in these 10 commandments. But they weren't given so that God could judge people in a sense of what you've done is right and wrong. What they would, what I think what God has done here is he's given them a standard to be able to get into heaven. This is the standard. And God knew when he gave it that people were not ever going to be able to fulfill this law. And it almost seems like it's a little bit unfair on God's part, but I don't think it is, because we can try as hard as we like and we can say, well, I've never murdered anybody. I've never stolen anything. I've treated people fairly. I've not coveted my neighbor's wife, house, car, bank balance, job, whatever. But the point is we can have kept all of those laws, but we fail in the keeping of the law in that we cannot keep that first law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's just something as human beings we can't do, because there's something in us that says that we want to be better than we are, and we fail in that. But the point of this is that God has laid down this law and said, this is the standard. And the only person who can reach this standard is me, it's God. And I think he's done it because he's laying down the foundation of the fact that he will redeem his people in the setting up of the sacrificial lamb. So there's a whole lot of stuff in these commandments, which obviously is way too much to go into. It's like the whole book of Exodus almost, and Deuteronomy. But I think it's God saying to his people, this is the standard which you can't achieve, so I'll give you a way out. And the way out is the sacrifice of a lamb. And the latter of that we'll get to a little bit later on. That bit about the lamb we come to later on. So just bear that in mind. The law was not given so that we knew right and wrong, because we knew that beforehand. But the law was given so that there has to be, it's like an exam. You know, you can pass an exam, you can hit a level, or you can fail an exam. And if the pass mark is 75 and you score 75, you pass. If you score 74, you fail. You may have got very close, but you fail. And that's how it is with the law of the commandments, is that we can achieve some of them, but we'll fail because we can't achieve that first one. So God is setting the way for him to come and redeem his people. So let's sing our next hymn, which is All to Jesus I Surrender. I thought this fitted in quite nicely with the Ten Commandments, because we're surrendering to God. So let's just sing that one together. All to Jesus I Surrender.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to thee I free.
To go change from the normal routine of doing things, and we're going to say together the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. I think that in singing I Surrender All, the Lord's Prayer fits in nicely here. So together, let's say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We are going to have now our second reading, which is from 1 Corinthians, and Bernadette is going to read this for us. Thank you, Bernadette.
Thank The first epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians. Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Christ, the power and wisdom of God. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message. Preach to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified to the Jews, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men.
Thank you, Bernadette. And we'll sing again before I share some thoughts on that. We're going to sing Oh to See the Dawn, the power of the cross.
Finish the victory ride.
Father, we come before your word knowing that there is no way we can fulfill the commandments, but we thank you that you sent Jesus to enable us to be redeemed. As we listen to your word, Lord, open our hearts and our minds. Amen. So the cross, in all of history, as far as I'm aware, again, is probably the cruelest means of torturing someone to death. You can go on YouTube and you can go and listen to people of science explain the science and the suffering and torture that the victim would have gone through. It was a horrendous death. And the Bible says that the cross is foolish to the wisdom of the wise. And yet this cross, this horrible means of torture, has been adopted by the Christian faith as being central to everything that we believe. Because without the cross, there is no Christian faith. Without the work of the cross, we are doomed to be under the law. So the cross allowed, at the cross, Jesus allowed himself to be nailed to it because he loved us. Because at the cross, he looked and saw throughout the passage of time and history, he saw you and he saw me and he said, Father, I will submit to your will. Because he knew that the only way that we could be saved was via the sacrifice of the perfect lamb. And if you remember, when we looked at the baptism of John, although we didn't look at this phrase, at the baptism of Jesus, John indicated as Jesus came down to be baptized, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We looked earlier at the Ten Commandments and we noted that God loved his people. And it was through this love that Jesus came to fulfill the Ten Commandments that we could never fulfill. He lived a life in which he committed no sin and no error. And he became the final sacrificial lamb. He became that final sacrifice, willingly giving up his life upon the cross. For the world, the cross is cruel. It's humiliation and it is death. So why choose it as a symbol to rally around? For the Christian, the cross is the symbol of the ultimate sacrifice of love and of hope. And we have a future because of the cross. The reading in 1 Corinthians that Bernadette so helpfully read for us asks us, where are the wise and the learned people? The cross has made fools of them because in their wisdom and knowledge, they've never been able to fully fulfill the commandments. No quality of learning or wisdom was able to save them. But no matter how much they studied the laws, they cannot fulfill them. But the cross, the sacrifice, the pain and the suffering makes all of that knowledge, all of that wisdom, all of that learning foolishness. Because who would willingly go to the cross? Who would willingly stand in the gap and go through all that pain and torment so that we could have a pathway back to God? The cross stands and offers salvation freely to those who accept its work. And I think the thing is that the cross is foolishness because Jesus has completed the work for us. He has taken the sin of the world and so simply as he opened the door to heaven with no strings attached. The cross is the message of hope and salvation to the world. But to those who reject Jesus, it's foolishness. But really, the cross is the message of good news. The cross is central to all that we believe, and Jesus has made it foolishness to the wise. So let us, hang on a minute, get the right one up. Let us sing together again this song, The Wonderful Cross. I couldn't choose another hymn really to follow a message about the power of the cross. So we're going to sing The Wonderful Cross.
Truly live. Oh, the
Oh, the wonderful cross, the wonderful cross. As we come before the foot of the cross now, let us come for our prayers of intercession, which Ruth is going to lead us through.
Let us pray. Let us pray. Right, Heavenly Father, God of justice, we come before you today as sinners, people who can never achieve the standards of your laws. We ask your forgiveness for our failures, and we ask that you wipe our slates clean. We thank you that you are a God who gives us chance after chance, that you do not hold on to our failures, but you forgive and are patient as we learn to live our lives for you. We ask that you would look upon this world, your creation, with compassion and love, that the constant attempts to wipe you from public lives and your presence from schools, workplaces and governments will be forgiven, and that your body, the church, Christians will stand tall and proclaim the good news. Lord, hear our prayer. God of forgiveness.
I can't see it.
Today, grateful for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, we thank you that we have been washed clean by his blood, set free by his death, and given hope by his resurrection. Help us to be worthy of the calling he has given, strong in the faith and faithful to the cause, spreading the word and forgiving as you have been to us. Lord, hear our prayer. God of wisdom, as we enter this new stage of relaxation in the COVID restrictions, give us wisdom to be obedient to the restrictions, mindful of the vulnerable and supportive to the needy and suffering. Lord, be with the school workers as they receive all the students back into education this week. Give them strength and patience. Calm any fears and worries. Protect and bless them in their work. Be with the students, young and older, as they return to the classrooms. Calm any fears and settle the concerns of mixing after so long away from fellow students. Be with the parents as they let their children go back into the care of the system. Calm nerves and help them to support both students and teachers. Lord, hear our prayer. God of love, as we move into the next phase of life in a pandemic-hit nation, help us to be wise. Help us to trust in you and to tread with caution. Keep us safe. Help us to be a blessing to others and to continue to pray for those who are suffering. We remember those in hospital, particularly Norma. We remember those who are concerned about jobs. We remember those in financial need. We remember those who have lost family or friends. We remember those with mental health issues. Lord, be close to all these people. Be close to those in authority, both in government and local councillors, as they continue to guide us. Lord, hear our prayer. And finally, Lord, we bring to you the church. We ask that we move forward. You guide us, lead us forward with love and care for our communities. Help us as we seek you for our identity in the coming days, that we may not just be a church, but that we would be Christ to our locality. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen.
Amen. And we'll sing our final hymn together, How Great Thou Art. Thank you.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the world and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. That God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on a cross, my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art. How great thou art.
Father, we just thank you that we can come into your presence, and as we go into our week, whatever the week holds for us, Lord, I pray that our prayer and our song and our declaration would be, how great thou art, and be with us in all that we do. Amen. Together we'll say, the grace. The grace.
And the grace of our Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ.
Love of God. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
With us all evermore. Amen.
Amen. Fantastic week, everybody.
Thank you, Martin. A couple of notices from me. First is that next Sunday morning, the Reverend Colin Pye, who is one of our Baptist regional ministers, will be leading our worship for us. So we look forward to welcoming Colin Pye to our service next Sunday morning. It is also Mothering Sunday next Sunday, or Mother's Day. Well, Mothering Sunday, of course, was a church celebration when people return to their home church to celebrate what their church has done. We've moved to celebrating our mothers on that, but I think it would be nice if we could all have a flower with us next Sunday morning. Normally in church we would distribute a flower or something on Mother's Day, Mothering Sunday. Obviously we can't do that, but if we all brought a flower with us, we could all have a flower with us next Sunday morning, which I think would be good for us. Is it King's Club next Sunday, Kathleen?
King's Kids, yeah. It's King's Kids at 10 o'clock. We've got Zoom at 10 o'clock next Sunday, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Anything else, anything from you, Trevor, this morning?
Yes, I will just mention, I think most people know, but we have now made the decision that we will be meeting at the pastures on the first Sunday in April, which is Easter Sunday. So we look forward to doing that. At this point in time, we don't know any details of that service, who'll be leading it. As soon as we know, then I'll let you know that. The one thing that I do need to say, though, is that during that service, we will be using, hopefully, the virtual choir that Sandra is preparing. So I think over this...
So what
I'm really saying is, don't turn down the offer of being part of that because you don't think you're going to be at the Zoom, because we will still be seeing it at the pastures. So please take part in that when the information comes out.
Yes, I'm intending to send that out. Sandra has shared it with me. They are not, Paul and Sandra aren't with us this morning because it's Kettering Church's annual general meeting after their service today, so they have needed to be there on Zoom with them. But she has shared with me the track that we're all going to sing to, and I will be sending that out this week to everybody. So please do that. And of course, we've got our prayers on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, as usual. Any other messages anybody has for us? If not, then we will say our greetings together and depart to celebrate and enjoy the rest of our Sundays together. So thanks very much, everybody. Good to see you.
Bye. Thank you, Martin. It was a very moving service this morning, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Have a good week.
Yeah. Bye. 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 Bye, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, Daniel.
Bye, Daniel.
Bye, bye. Bye, friend Helen.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Bernard.
Bye-bye, Stephanie.
Bye-bye. Bye.
How would you all take the bit of the service?
Listen, they're going now. So, look, you watch.
What?
Not watching, are you?
Just.
God bless. Take care. Bye bye. Bye bye.